Yes, it's been a very long winter's month. I'm gonna remind you of certain things that happened. Does anybody remember that there was a war? It was a pretty big one. You know, Israelis, Palestinians. It worked out pretty well in the end. Do you remember davening in the dining room over there? Because it was negative 35 degrees inside here, and it was 20 degrees outside, which made it all the more impressive. Do you remember the heat getting turned on and then being so hot that we had to open up windows? You were begging to go back to those days when the heat wasn't on so that we could actually sit and learn and not have to worry. Do you remember the curtains once were down? Do you remember that? We had like a month where like the sun was shining at every single person in this room and you could only sit in certain parts of the base matters, and if you weren't sitting there, then you had the sun straight in your eyes and you couldn't see. Oh, good times. Good times. Do you remember when they cleaned the floor out there and it just wasn't clean? Spent like 3 weeks, what was it, 3-4 weeks, and it just, nothing happened. In fact, I thought it looked worse afterward.
You can see the dirt
on there. You can see it, yeah, it was. I mean, you took away all the wax. You remember when those walls were black? The walls on top of the, you know, all around where they were all black? They'll be there, give it a week. But, you know, it's, do you remember, we had an election this year. And we elected a president for the first time, an African-American, technically an American, Hawaii-American, because they say he wasn't really born in Kenya. I mean, it's been a pretty crazy year. This has not been a normal year. So what I did was, I decided, you know, we have to prepare ourselves for what's going to happen in another week or two. We have to prepare ourselves for Bnei Zman. It was the best way to prepare. I went through all 24 shmoozes that I said, and I'm going to give you a synopsis of every shmooze within a couple lines. And I'm going to bring it out to you. I'm going to tell you what I said. And it's good for Shui because he wasn't here in the beginning. And maybe Michal for a little bit. You know, it'll work out a little bit. And to basically get you up to speed how it flowed and where we are now, what we're supposed to do now. First thing we spoke about, Ayin Tov, to look at things in a good light. First time I spoke. It was all about looking at things in a good light, not saying to yourself, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. It might be, but that's not how you look at it. You got to look at things in a good light and to say to yourself, it's okay, that things can be okay, that things will be better as long as I start thinking to myself that, hey, you're not going to get anywhere by complaining. If you sit and complain all day long, it's just not going to happen. But the way to get around the complaints is to take a role. I'd say, well, I know what I have to complain about. I know what I don't like. And using an Ayin Tova by saying to yourself a good eye and saying, you know what, this is how it can get better. And that you go ahead and you try to get it better. Then we said, in the second shmooze, that to learn requires kiddushin, requires you to do something before. And you can't just go into it watching a bunch of movies or listening to a lot of music or doing whatever it is. And then all of a sudden think, and now I'm going to learn. It's not going to happen. If you start off your Seder without Kiddusha, if you start off your Seder by doing something that's Tameh, then of course you're not going to have Kiddusha during Seder. And you wonder why you're getting nothing out of Seder? You're wondering why these songs are popping into your head in the middle of Seder? Don't wonder. I'll tell you why. It's because you're listening to music, or because you're watching a movie, or because you saw something, whatever it is. But that's the reason why you're not enjoying it, because you don't have the Kiddusha before the Seder starts. It's pashut that way. It's absolutely pashut that way. And if you think back, and you think to a time where I didn't do anything beforehand, or I did something holy beforehand, where I did something like I davened and then I went straight into Seder, then you probably had a better Seder. You probably had a better Seder because that leads in. You got to be porish a little bit from Taiva's Olam Haza in order to understand what Olam Haba is all about. Can't get to go into Gan Eden with your swimming trunks and your suntan lotion and your sunglasses on, saying like, oh, I'm ready. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's not real Olam Haba. Number three. Once you get that way, never be Yayish on yourself. Don't give up on who you are and know that you have done unbelievable things, that gaiva and pride can be utilized as a tool to grow, to become a better person. You've got to stop gaiva at some point. But don't think to yourself that I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm not going to get anywhere, and I'm not going to go anywhere in life, that my life is basically, I'm peaking right now, and then I'm not going to grow anymore. That yeshiva is it, and then I'm just going to go down. No, you can still grow. It's just that, well, your growth in yeshiva should be going like this, while your growth out of yeshiva may have to go like that. It may be a different plane. It won't be as far up as you can when you're in yeshiva. But when you're out of yeshiva, you can still do it. It just takes a long time. It takes a lot for you to do. And never be miyayish. Never give up. Even if you see yourself going down a little bit, never think to yourself, well, that's it, I'm done. I have nothing, I can't do anything anymore. It's not true. It's not true. And if you use gaiva in the right way, if you use your pride in the right way, then you can only bring yourself up, because you'll think to yourself, I can be better than this. I can do better than this, and I know I can do better than this. That was number three. Number four was right before, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. We were talking about Elul, we talked about the David Hashem Ori. We spoke about the idea of the shofar being blown as sort of a call to arms, a national call of every Jew, get up and greet the king. Get yourself ready to greet the king. You don't have clothes yet? Go get the clothes. You don't have the stamina yet? Go get the stamina. Keep working on yourself until you're ready. And that shofar blast that's done after davening is to be able to remind you, God is coming. God is coming. The king is here. The king is waiting for you. That's the idea behind it. Number five, we talked about the point of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That the first day is for individuals who the world was created for, and that the second day is a world for those who have to be here anyway. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't just have a world of the individuals that deserve to be in the world. They need a world. They need a guy who owns a 7-Eleven. Because how are they going to get Slurpees? Especially the cones. And Shmoo. Oh, and Boyer. Exactly. Way to shout out. So now you're going to have a lot of other things where you sit there and you say, well, what am I going to do if there's nobody to cut the grass out there? There's going to be no way for us to be able to play baseball on the days when it's really nice outside, which is once every blue moon. Thank God over the past couple weeks. You sit there, what are we going to do? There's got to be a guy who's going to cut the lawn. There's got to be a guy who, et cetera, you can go all through everything. There's got to be a guy who opens up a movie theater that I don't go to. That I improve myself by not going to. There has to be a guy like that. Because there has to be someone that's fighting against me. That I have to go up against. That I have to do something for. All these things are one against the other. Where other things, there's 2 days. There's 1 day for the Iker people. For the people who deserve to be in this world. And the other day for the people who, they have to fit in. They have to be in the world anyway. And you need a person like that. And that's also to tell you that don't be miyayish, even if you think that you're a Russia and you don't deserve to be there anymore and that I deserve to die this year, you still might live. Because you can still live because other people need you. Other people need you. And that's, again, another lesson of don't be miyayish. And we have no idea who the world is created for. And don't, and as we said, don't say it's for tzaddikim, tell me the chachamim, and that's it. It's not true. The world could be created for, again, for the guy who's mowing the lawn. The guy needs a lawn to mow. So therefore, a yeshiva was created. And every single person here is for Ron to be able to cut the lawn. A Pella. But who knows? We have no idea who the Iker behind the world is. That was number five. Number six. We spoke about our mitzvos. Are our mitzvos done correctly? This is right before Yom Kippur. Are our mitzvos done correctly? I mean, we do averus, so we know that. We do tshuva on our averus. We don't do tshuva on our mitzvos. There are mitzvahs that we do that we don't even think about. There are mitzvahs that we do that we don't even concentrate on, that we don't care about. And when a person has mitzvahs like that, you can't improve. You can't get any better. Because every time you try to get any better, your mitzvahs keep bringing you down. You think you're doing the right thing and really only showed up to 10 minutes of davening. But I went to davening. But it was 10 minutes of davening. You weren't right about that. But you don't think that way. I showed up to Seder. You were there for 20 minutes to Seder. But I thought I did okay. Of course you thought it. I got into a machlokas this week with a guy where I went up to him and I said, you weren't here for this, 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 and that. And he said, yes, I was. I said, I'm very good with going through certain things and seeing when people come in and when they didn't. And I said, I marked it down every day. And he said, I remember I was here for Sunday. I was here for this. I looked at him and I said, you weren't. You convince yourself that you were. Because 2 weeks ago, do you remember if you missed a day? Do you have any idea? Do you remember if you learned all 3 hours of Seder on Sunday 2 weeks ago? You have no idea. You can only remember if you write it down at the time. If you do something at the time. But 2 weeks ago, I was there. What do you mean? I was fine. I davened. I was there for all Seder. I was there for everything. What's wrong? You don't remember these things. Our mitzvahs aren't done correctly. Number seven. The idea of it's a mitzvah is overused. Do you remember that? Where everybody says, like, come, do you want to go to Sheva Brachos? It's a mitzvah. Well, where's the mitzvah? What is the definition of a mitzvah? We talked about the difference between one of the 613 mitzvahs and all the other mitzvahs. That one of the 613 means it's a tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses for you to be able to grow with. Well, all the other mitzvahs are things that are good things for a person to do, but they're not ultimate growthers? They don't help you grow. They don't help you grow. I just made up that word, by the way. It's not for real. Number eight. What the point of the yeshiva is. And why a person is in yeshiva and isn't just learning in a base medrash. The difference between going over to a shul and sitting in the base medrash all day long, all day, with a gemara open in front of you, writing notes with a chavrusa, and going through everything, going through shas while you're sitting there, be'in, in a base medrash all day long, versus being in a yeshiva. The point of a bein hasdarim, the point of a bein hazmanim, the point of a lunch break and a breakfast and a davening and this and that and the other, the point of being in a yeshiva, why do we have a yeshiva? And the basic answer that we gave was, which led us through a lot of things, is to become a malach. To be able to teach a person how to act and how to be. And not just to learn. Because if you want to learn, you can learn anywhere. If you want to learn, you can go to college. You want to be in a yeshiva? A yeshiva has siddurim. And to keep those siddurim is the most important thing that a person can possibly do. We went down in that, and we said in number nine, you got to smile a little bit. And sometimes, you just got to laugh. You just got to laugh. That more had to do with what was going on at the time. But you got to start being happy about what you've accomplished. And we said take notes. We said make notebooks. We said write things down, which no one did. Except for three people. No one, well, that's already a tenth. But either way, you accomplish. Can you imagine? At the end of Zman, you could have had a full notebook. Did you accomplish? Did you get it? Did you write it down? So if you did, Josh, then it works. If you didn't, then you have nothing to look back at. You have a whole Zman where 6 months, 5 months, let's say, let's include Elul, 6 months, you learned, but you don't see anything. So you come out with it and you say, well, what did I do? Sure, I learned the Gemara, but do I have notes on it? Sometimes they get thrown out. It depends on which locker you're using. But do you have notes on it? So we're at the end of this Zman. So show me, what do you got? Do you have anything? You know why I made you write those notes 2 weeks ago? So you wouldn't forget it 3 weeks ago. So you wouldn't forget it. I have them locked up in there. They're not going anywhere. They're sitting there, and they're going to be locked up inside that little locker, and I'm going to show it to you. And I'm going to show it to you again. And you're going to see it. You're not going to be able to take anything back. You're going to see what it was like. If you don't do that, you're not going to see anything. You're not going to feel accomplished. That's what notes do. And then be happy. Because if you did accomplish, and if you did do it, you have something to smile about. You have something to be happy about. That was number nine. Number ten, Seder. The idea behind a Seder with consistency. That a person does not just do a Seder. One day he comes for this, and then one day, this day he'll learn from 9 to 11. That day he'll learn from 10:30 till 1:30. Oh, but I'm still learning for 3 hours. No, we have a set Seder for a reason. Not for you to be able to decide when you want to use your Seder, or when you want to learn, or when you don't want to learn. That's a base medrash. A Seder is in yeshiva for a reason, for you to be able to keep up the pace and not grow old. And when you leave, you'll actually be able to have that pace. Number 11. How to be dan l'chav schus and when to be dan l'chav schus. That if a person misses davening every single day and then comes up to me and gives me an excuse for why they miss davening, no. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. To be dan l'chav schus means you had to have been good up until one point, and then all of a sudden miss a davening. Then you're done that guy, l'chav schus. Where was he? Well, he for sure was doing something good. He's always here. Must be he's out of town. And he forgot to tell me. Well, where was he? Must be he was in the midst of doing a mitzvah and wasn't able to come here. But you're not just done l'chav schus to just anybody. as we said from the Rabbeinu Yonah and from Rashi and from everyone else, you're not just dam lechavschus, just stam to a person. If the person deserves the lechavschus, then you give them the lechavschus. But it's not just stam a person. And that was the idea, that a person can't go ahead and say to another person, well, what's wrong? You didn't dam me lechavschus. You didn't think I was good? My job is to not be dam people lechavschus. And that was the idea behind it, and when to be dam lechavschus. Number 12. The point, I think this is after I came back from Eretz Yisrael the first time, the point of what Skokie Yeshiva can do, not necessarily what Skokie Yeshiva is doing, to bring different parts of Klal Yisrael together. The point of what is supposed to be an achdus of Klal Yisrael, to be able to say to yourself, because everything is so polarized when you get to certain places, everything is so this and that and the other, that you could define a person in Eretz Yisrael by his clothes, where he went to yeshiva. Almost always you would be able to do that with the major yeshivas. You would be able to do that. And it's just sad. And that there should be a place where everybody can get together and be together as one. And that place can be here. Number 13, along those lines, how those who died in Mumbai were kedoshim. And that those people who died, whether they were from, whether they believed in a different type of Judaism than we did, if you got that, and whether they were not from at all, that all of them were kedoshim in different ways, in the fact that they were used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show a lesson to the entire world, that made the entire world stand up and say something. Now, whether you remember Mumbai right now or not, doesn't make a difference. You'll probably have somebody who's sitting in their head saying, wait a second, I remember that. What happened exactly? But it happened to open up everyone's mind to see terrorists are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And that kid. Number 14, the power of what you wear, getting back to that, and saying how it affects how people look at you. Going back to the Dam Lechavschus, if you come into Seder wearing a t-shirt, chains, and jeans that are ripped at the knees, you're probably not going to have a good Seder. And you can't blame other people for looking at you and saying, what's wrong with you? And you say back to them, what do you mean? What do you mean what's wrong with me? Stop looking at me. No. Don't walk in jeans torn and a t-shirt and chains around your neck or your wallet chained over, and then you won't get any question marks. People dress and that's how people look at you. It's just a fact of life. Should it be that way? It shouldn't. Is it that way? It is. So stop complaining about that. The fact is people look at you and they define you by how they look at you. And we discuss job interviews. When a guy goes for a job interview, you don't walk in a t-shirt that hasn't been washed in a while and khaki pants with a little stain on it, a grass stain from that time that you slid in the ground to be able to catch a fly ball, and walk in and just be like, I want the, you know, hi, I'm Tzvi Zimmerman, I'm looking for a job. You're looking for a job as a lawyer in this firm looking like that? Are you joking? You don't walk in that way. And we went into davening a little bit, how a person can show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how when I daven, I'm dressing up for you. Whatever that means. Whatever that means to dress up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to dress up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether I'm meant a tie, or I'm meant a jacket, or whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. Whether it means a collared shirt for certain people. But to dress up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 15. We talked about Yosef HaTzadik. That Yosef HaTzadik, everybody thought he was a black man in charge of a kingdom. And all of a sudden, he tore off his mask, and they saw that he was a white Jew. And we said, can you imagine if President Obama did the exact same thing? And tore off his mask and became a white Jew. That was right after he got elected, obviously. But can you imagine what would be? And what's the shot behind having such a president? And understanding that there are so many people out there that we just don't understand and we don't get. That we look at them and we think Russia, and really they're good. So it's sad that we have to look at people and we see their clothes and we see what they're like and that we realize and we think about them like, oh, that guy went to there and that guy is this and that guy is that. But the fact is, you shouldn't do that. Regardless of whether or not it happens. So you as the dresser should know that when you get up in the morning. You as the looker shouldn't look at people that way. And try to work on yourself to not look at that way. Number 16 was when the war started. What our role is in this war. And what we're supposed to do with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and how to understand that we're not on the front lines, that we don't know what's going on. But our davening and our learning can be used for them to be able to grow. Then we have to understand that, and it doesn't make a difference which soldier, whether the soldier is Jewish or, well, most of them are. But even if he is, if he's Jewish or if he's from or if he's not from, it doesn't make a difference. They're fighting for Klal Yisrael, and because they're fighting for Klal Yisrael, you daven for them and you learn for them. And if you don't, you're a Russian. You're Pasha to Russia gone, without a question. If you can't find it in your heart to daven for somebody who's fighting for you, then you're a Russian. You're an absolute Russian. Number 617, Shovavim started. And we said that the first thing we did for Shovavim was to scream out pshat, to make there be a call in the base medrash that everybody can hear, to try to emulate Gavin, to try to be able to scream and to shout and to show everybody that you're there. Not to be able to sit there and it's a library. Shh, what's pshat dosos? It's not what we want. A base medrash is used to scream. It's there to be loud. And if a person says, oh, I can't hear myself, good! You shouldn't hear yourself. Why were you able to hear yourself at any point? That's the first thing to show them. After that, we went into Chidushin. Do you remember that? $360. Gone. It was actually $385, I believe, at the end. $385 altogether. That Shvat led us into the Chidushin that a person can make, and that Shvat is a time for absolute newness, renewing yourself. And anybody that came up with them got money for those Chidushin. And if you missed that day, I felt bad for you. I felt bad for you. And that Chidushim is the way the world runs. That the whole world runs through Chidushim. That's number two. Number three. Third thing that we did in Shovim, which is number 19, is how a person says, I'm sorry, and it makes it better. And it makes things better. That not lying afterward can, not always, but can solve everything. And we had Akasha from A-Rod, who got caught, apologized, and people still hate him because he still lied when he apologized. And it's horrible that he's a liar. So even more so. So when you apologize, you have to apologize correctly. And then we went into all person when he's at home. The greatest two words that you could ever use, or three words, depending on how you speak, is I'm sorry, or I am sorry. There's no greater words in the English dictionary. Nothing. Nothing will get you anywhere further than I am sorry. About everything. About what? About everything. Since I've been born, I'm sorry. That's that. And people feel it. And if you mean it, not if you fake it. If you mean it, it means something to people. Number 20. Laziness. How it kills the zman when a person sits there and doesn't want to get up. How it kills the zman when a person is just too lazy to get himself out there. Because not only is he lazy in the fact that he's not coming to Seder on time, or that he leaves Seder early, or that he's not able to come to davening, or this or that or the other, that he has to sleep a little bit extra. But the laziness kills you, because when you sleep during the day, then you can't sleep at night, which means you mess over your next day. If you sleep on a Shabbos day, then your Motzei Shabbos is going to be bad, which means your Sunday is going to be horrible. Oh, but it's just a Sunday. That's laziness. And that shouldn't be. There's no reason for that to happen. Number 21 and 22 were all about growing in the dark. When a person is in the dark and a person doesn't think anything good can happen, a person can still grow greater than any other time that a person can have. That's when I asked you to list your issues and put them down in the pieces of paper to give to me as a plane letter. Said I have something to read when I went down the plane. And then after I came back, it happened to be a 2-day trip, for me to be able to say what it means to be able to grow when you're running around from yeshiva to yeshiva. When you're looking around from one place to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, what does it mean to grow when you're in those positions and to grow when you're sitting in a place where you don't think this is the right place for me? Where everything's bad, and everything is dark, and everything is gone. You couldn't listen to the first parts. Number 23, sometimes you just have to live with your issues. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And sometimes people get messed over. And that's okay. That's the way of life. And people have to understand that. And when a person understands that, then things get a little bit better. Not better physically, because those bad things still happen. But you just start understanding things more. You start realizing that God has a plan. And because of that, we got to 24. shelo lishma eventually becomes lishma. When? When you want it. If you want it to be lishma. But if you don't want it to ever become lishma, if you never want to do something l'shem shemayim, then your shelo lishma will never become lishma. There's no way that a person can ever have anything that really works lishma. With that, we spoke last week about what a person can do during Ben Hazman. That the idea behind the yeshiva, behind any yeshiva, is supposed to be that a person keeps growing and growing and growing and growing until Ben Hazman is just autopilot. Autopilot. And then all of a sudden you're just like, you have nobody pushing you behind you. You have no little check system that's working on whether or not you're there. All you have is parents, or a wife, or even a kid, that forces you to get up if you can't do it on your own. That's the autopilot, where you're sort of like sputtering, but it's still there. And all you gotta make sure, it's like a plane that's flying perfectly fine, sputters for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you might go down a little bit, but is able to fly his way right back up. You're gonna have a yurida. And that's what today is all about. You're going to have a yurida. There's no question. You're gonna do something stupid. You're gonna do something extremely silly. You're gonna sit there, and you're gonna be like, why did I do this? The answer is, it's Ben Hazmanim. And that's what Bahab is for. That after Pesach is said and done, and after Sukkot is said and done, you had all those days of Chol HaMoed, and you wasted them. You waste them. It's wasted. Now, there are familial obligations, which is not a waste. But you have so much time. You just sit and learn. And you don't. There's a TV. There's movies. There's the radio. There's other things. It's just driving around. Gas is still somewhat cheap, even if it's $2.19. There's just other things going around. You get caught up. You do this, and then all of a sudden you find, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. And you're just like, you forget about it. Your Gemara of Matiah is like collecting dust. You could do Chazara. You could finish off 11, 13 blot that you did Be'in. We only did a couple blot Be'in. You can finish those off in a couple days. But no, like you'll come back at the end of, blow off the top, you know, and get out there and get back into it. It's going to happen where you just sit there and you realize, I just messed up my whole Ben Hazman. And that's okay. If you know it going into it, you'll have that yurida. You're going to sputter. You're going to go down. You have to make sure that you're still on the ground. If you crash, it's very hard to get yourself back up. But if you're still sputtering, you're still there, you can fly higher than you were before. It's the point of a Ben Hazman. You have to sit there and say to yourself, what did I get? What did I get out of my whole Zman? Where am I? We should be done already. We should be done yesterday. Yesterday should be the end of Zman. In yeshivas throughout the world, the end of Zman is then. We're not like Landers. Landers goes up to Erev Pesach, like Chatzos, because you got to sleep before Seder. That's the only reason why. But they mamish go up to there. Why you? They're also off. I think it's Thursday of next week. Although people start coming back now. It works. I don't know. But why you works that way as well. Near Yisrael, they're pretty much done. The yeshivish places, they're done. They're done. All the places in Eretz Yisrael, base has been back for a year. I mean, it's just everybody, and we're still here. You know what you do? You know why? You know, I figured it out. You know why Skokie has these extra days? Because sometimes you forget where you are, and you forget what you've done, and you don't realize what you've accomplished. Use these days now to realize where you've grown, how you've grown, what you've done. Write it down. I can't say it enough. You will never forgive yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to remember. You're not going to know where you are. And it's so much harder over a Ben Hazman when you sit there and you don't have something reminding you where you were at the end of this month. How much you were learning, what you were doing. Take a piece of paper and a pen and write it down. Just write something. Write where you want to be. Write where you're holding. What would you do? What would you not do? And after Ben Hazmanim, look at it and say, here's where I messed up, here's where I didn't mess up. You have to. If you don't do it, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're not going to write it down, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. You can say it's going to work. You can say, don't worry, I got it right here. And I guarantee you, 2 weeks from now, what was it that I wanted? I was allowed to watch 6 movies, right? And I thought I said that As long as they were rated R, it's okay. Remember what you said. You said G. Do you know how many letters there are between G and R? It's unbelievable. There's at least a P. At least a P. There's even numbers in between them. You're not going to remember it. You have to write it down. You have to do it now. You have to get it there. This one you don't have to give to me. This one should be in your pocket. If you have a jacket, you put it in your little jacket pocket. If you have a wallet, I hope you do, put it in your wallet. If you have a money clip, put it in your money clip. Show it to the jewel person that when you go to jewel and you get something that's not full of Yisrael because it's Benazmanin, you go up to them and you say to them, you see my money clip? You see what I got here? I got a piece of paper telling me I shouldn't be eating Kol Yisrael. And I am. And I feel bad about it. But when I come back, I'm going to work on that. That was obviously a little bit sarcastic. A little bit. Because I'm getting my Reese's peanut butter cups. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about. A Benazmanim is part of the Zman. That's what a person has to understand. You're just not here. It's a Benazmanim where you have to work on yourself harder. You have to work on yourself on the things that you don't really want to work on. You have to deal with your mom. You have to deal with your dad. You got to deal with your brothers and sisters. Thank God for me, only brothers. You have to deal with your kids. It's hard. They cry. You know, they want to play. Do you know how hard it is? I hate losing games. And last night, because my wife is feeling sick, I came home a little bit early from the program, from the yeshiva program, and I sat there and I played sorry with them. Do you know how hard it is for me to say, no, take my piece, not Devorah's? You know, you play sorry, you knock them out? No, Ez, just take my piece. But Devorah, no, just take my piece. And I sit there and I'm like, I'm not going to win. And I didn't. And I had to put myself in fourth place because Ruby was playing also? Come on. I had to cheat a little bit. I'm like cheating with the cards. I'm like making sure that the card that Ruby gets is a one so he gets out. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you just got to give up. It's going to be hard. But I'm sorry. I feel like that. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. It's just the way it is. At least I didn't have to play Monopoly. Because that's much worse. Everything should be good. It's going to be a great Benazmanim. But you need these 4 days. Wednesday, I don't know about it. I'm thinking about taking everybody to the zoo. But you need these 4 days. 3.5, let's call it. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, you definitely need it. And use it. Use it well. We got these 3 days left. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have this Shabbos. Everything should be good. Have a good Shabbos.